Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
My guest is Suzanne Stelling. She has more than one book, but and more than one master's degree. But but she is recently the author of this book, The Way of the Telescope, and it's Learning How to Truly See. I just got these glasses from my eye doctor and Costco. And I wanted to be able to see things better, and my old pair was getting scratched up and the coating was getting messed up from riding around in my pocket. And so anyway, without these, I don't see as well. And we need help sometimes to see. And Suzanne's book is about God's way of helping us to see things the way that they really are. And it comes down to embracing truth. But that also means sometimes unlearning some things we thought were true.
Yes, it's so true.
And sometimes it's something that's partly true. It's
yes,
a truth, but it's not the whole truth. It's not in balance. So Suzanne, thank you for coming on the broadcast to talk with us about The Way of the Telescope. How did you come up with that title?
I came up with the title because there's this word in scripture that I love, and the root is tel, T-E-L. And just like in English, it conjugates into various forms. But I kept seeing it here and there. And the one that made me the most uncomfortable was where the scripture said to be perfect and complete.
Yes.
And there's nothing about me that's perfect. Never has been. And I'm pretty comfortable with admitting that. And so trying to figure out how to deal with God wanting that of me. And so I looked up the word, and it really had to do more with maturity and completion and wholeness. It had to do with reaching an aim or a goal. Mm-hmm. And that gave me such relief. So I was looking at that and researching that. And one of the best visuals that I can think of is an old pirate's telescope, where you put it to your eye and it's still nested within itself, but then you begin to extend it. You see a little better, a little more clearly, and you keep extending until you have a fully extended telescope and you can see exactly where you need to go or what it is you're looking for. And that is the picture of being mature and complete. So there are several stages that you have to go through. You can't rush it.
Yeah.
Can't jump to maturity, but you have to go through usually a lot of pain and mm-hmm. difficulty, actually, to get to that point where you're fully extended and you can fully see.
Jesus was made perfect by that which he suffered.
Yes.
Which is, it's like, wait a minute.
Yes.
You're telling me that brokenness is a part of the path to wholeness?
But I think it's crucial. And if we, what I call that in the book is the wall. We are going along in life and we slam up against a wall. And typically we are just knocked breathless, yeah, thinking, what in the world? For me, for example, the first wall was disease. The mm-hmm. second wall was miscarriage after miscarriage after miscarriage. And it kept going throughout my life at different times and intervals. And was just really, really painful. But it was at those points in time where I feel like that telescope was extending another level, another notch. And I didn't like it. It didn't feel good. I was extremely uncomfortable. I was very sad often. And the circle that I was in hadn't really addressed those kinds of disorienting sadnesses. And so I leaned on what I knew from scripture, but like you were just saying, Jim, we do have to go through different times of suffering in order to get to these places of maturity. So I went from orientation, just a happy girl, learning the scriptures, settled in life, to disorientation, where I'm smack on my booty thinking, what in the world has just happened to me?
Yeah.
And then I get to reorientation, where God shifts how I see him and how I see myself and how I see the life of maturity in this world.
Amen.
So I have other words that might click with listeners better. Maybe you've been settled and then unsettled and then resettled. Mm-hmm. Or you're connected and then you're disconnected and reconnected. Or you've experienced a lot of order and then there's disorder. But then comes reorder if we participate with Jesus in this reordering of our lives.
Yeah. And I'm glad you said participate with Jesus, because we're not left to just do this on our own. And we're not, I mean, this is, it's not a thing where God starts us out and says, good luck. You know, I mean,
oh my gosh, thank goodness.
Amen. I mean, every step of the way, even when we can't feel it, even when we don't see it, he's there. Mm. And he's the same. He doesn't change. And he loves us.
Yes.
But, you know, Jesus, who is perfect, said, Father, if there's any other way, please let this cup pass from me. It wasn't like he was thinking, oh, this will be a breeze. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a breeze. He endured things we can't even imagine. We can't comprehend what he went through. And he did it for us. He didn't do it to improve himself. He didn't do it because, you know, it was he had this bent toward suffering because he just knew this is going to make him a better person. He did that for our benefit. Mm-hmm. And then he calls us to take up our cross and follow him.
Mm-hmm. Because, and that's going to inevitably include difficult times. And the question then is, are you going to continue to follow?
Exactly.
Or are you going to wander away or just kiss the whole thing goodbye? And that's what I'm seeing in so many people, because they've been taught some, what I would call incomplete truths. They're true, for sure they're true, but they're not enough to support a durable faith.
Amen.
And I made a huge list. There's a chart in the back of the book.
Mm-hmm.
And I can go through a few of those with you.
Please.
About things that I had learned and had to unlearn in order to have better sight.
Yes.
So for one, is just the life of shallow spirituality, where church and Jesus really don't affect my life. And what I had to relearn was an intimate spirituality where Jesus affects everything in my life and the Holy Spirit becomes my best friend. Another one is to ignore my blind spots, whatever those blind spots are. An example could be racism. Instead, I am responsible for pursuing new understanding with my blind spots. So I need to dive into racism in my family legacy, in my mindset, in my behavior with my neighbor. And then defining success as money or power or privilege or likes or follows, all that stuff. Changing that to defining success as being close to God, doing what he asks of me in his way, in his time frame. It's crucial. It's not enough to just try to be material.
I think when you mention people who kind of, you know, want to throw in the towel and walk away and so forth, in many cases, and I'm not trying to let them off the hook completely, but they were often kind of sold a bill of goods. They were given the impression by people who wanted to get as many people on board as possible. You know, we just want everybody, come on in. I heard a preacher years and years ago, decades ago now, the man's been deceased for quite a while, but I heard him say, I believe that if we presented Christianity properly, everyone would want to be a Christian. Well, I completely disagree with that.
I do too.
So did Jesus. Mm-mm. You know, Jesus was forever saying things like, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. You know, I'm not sure you really want to follow me.
And, here's a fox.
You know, exactly. And if we present the gospel the way Jesus said, it's a narrow way mm-hmm. that leads to life. Mm-hmm. And most people don't find it. But mm-hmm. Jesus says, this is the judgment. The light has come into the world and men preferred the darkness because their deeds mm-hmm. are evil. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of evangelism and a lot of churchianity has been about trying to get everybody to just join the club. You know, mm-hmm. you'll find out what's involved after you get in. And so people are encouraged to just, if you would like to have more purpose in your life, if you're looking for peace, if you feel lonely, Jesus is a companion. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, kind of whatever it is you're looking for, it's here. It's here. Just come on in. Just come on in. And they're not told about the cross. And it's Christianity without Christ. It's, you know, we are here for you. I'm sorry, time's up. And so, you know, and so people feel lied to mm-hmm. because in a sense they were. Mm-hmm. And I thank God that your response when you hit that wall was not to just walk away, but as disorienting as it can be, as difficult as it is, you knew that the Lord is more important than what you were feeling at the time. Mm-hmm. It's not about not about denying our feelings. Mm-hmm. The psalmist gives us great examples of being honest about what we feel, but then looking beyond that. And that's, again, one of the things a telescope enables you to do.
Yes. It's and not, we've got to.
It's not for looking at things right here in front of you. Mm-hmm. It's for seeing that which otherwise we couldn't see. Mm-hmm. It changes our perception of where we are. And as you said, where we need to go makes all of it.
I think about in the book, I talk about how God reintroduces himself to his followers when they go through times of harm, and talk about Jacob in the Old Testament, John in the New, and just the ways that God meets us at these points in time. And they aren't necessarily pretty and comforting. For example, when Jacob wrestled with the angel, who I believe was probably pre-incarnate Jesus, he gets him in the hip and puts his hip out of socket, and then he gives him a new name. And those are two gifts, but people don't want the gift of pain. Right. They like the new start, the fresh start. But then you think about John in the New Testament, and he's an old man in his 90s. He's been exiled to Patmos, and he's in the spirit, and he's worshiping, which is so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And Jesus comes to him, and John doesn't say, oh, hey, bro. Missed you.
Yeah.
You know, instead he sees this glorious being, not Jesus as a cuddly baby or the bloodied man on the cross, but the risen, glorious King of the universe. And he falls flat on his face. And I think that sometimes we have these epiphanies where God reintroduces us to himself so that we can see him as he is, mm-hmm. both consuming fire and great comforter. Amen. You know, that all of who he is, not just one facet or brand of who God is, but the big picture, the expansive picture of our holy God, Amen. Who is so loving and so good and so untamed. He made the destroyer and he made life. So you got to get in there with both of them and do the wrestling.
Amen. Amen. And I think You share in the book, and you've shared in conversation, how vital scripture is in that, so that we have a fixed point that enables us to say, okay, now wait a minute, is what I'm thinking here really true? It may be something I'm thinking, and I might even be, you know, very focused on this, but how does that line up with scripture? And if it doesn't line up with scripture, we need to slide that telescope out a little further. We need to look again, because God's word doesn't change. God doesn't change, but we are learners. We're on a journey, and we're seeing things that we haven't seen before. And what I want when people study the Bible and I'm trying to teach is not for them to say, oh, wow, I could never have figured that out. What I want, then I've failed, because then they think it's me. Mm. You know, I'm the guy with the answers. But what I want desperately and what I enjoy is when they say, you're exactly right. That is what it says. because then what they're realizing, it's not Jim Wood who has the answers. It's God who has the answers. And he's given us all the book. And so we can all go there with the author, not just with a teacher, but with the author, and say, help me to know what you want me to know right now.
That's crucial, Jim, because if we can read the book like a lawyer, we can study it, know it backwards and forwards. But there's more. There's the Holy Spirit breathing life into it. Mm-hmm. I recommend to your listeners that if they haven't read the Bible all the way through, that they do that, and take the time, do the discipline, do the work. Because if you say you're going to base your life on this book, you need to know what it says. And you need to do the wrestling. There will be parts where you wrestle, and that's okay. Dive in, keep going. Yeah. But it's important that you go from Genesis to Revelation, get that meta narrative, that big picture, and then realize how it was written. It's got a lot of history. It's got poetry. It's got wisdom literature. It's got prophecy. And so to correctly read it, you need to keep those things in mind.
Amen.
And get that big picture. Yes.
Amen. And again, remember, you don't have to do it on your own. The author is right there. Mm-hmm. And if you want to know the truth, he's happy to show you, but he won't show you everything you want to know right when you want to know it. He'll show you what you need to know, which may not be what you are interested in, but he'll show you what you need to know. And as he unfolds it and reveals more and more of himself, you will, from time to time, like Isaiah, say, woe is me, I am undone. Mm-hmm. But that's not the end of the story.
No. And, no, there's so much more. There's so much more. And you've got to put in the time. This is part of being a disciple and a follower. And I want to encourage your listeners to crack open that Bible and pray and ask the Holy Spirit, who is our counselor and the Spirit of Truth, to assist. I mean, we've got to learn. So, and then to be patient with yourself. One of my favorite ways to read the Bible, other than just through, is to do these five R's. So you read and reread. You don't get an A plus if you read quickly. So you just read a passage and reread it. Then you reflect on it, put yourself into it, see how that moves your perspective. For example, be there when they lower the paralytic through the roof to right in front of Jesus, and then respond. Maybe if you're a journaler, write it down. If you're a songwriter, write a song. If you're, you know, all the different things. If you're a thinker, map it out. And then are there any resolutions that you want to come away with from this? Anything that you feel the Holy Spirit is saying to you that will bring change? And then just rest in it, enjoy it. But those are five simple R's that you can carry with you all the time when you have scripture in front of you.
Amen. That's excellent. I think a lot of folks, I can't play the piano. I had piano lessons when I was young, but I never wanted to do the work. You've used that phrase, do the work. You know, many of us find that that's difficult, whatever the task is, whether it's learning piano or I could be in better shape physically if I had done some other things over the years instead of sitting and reading. Because I don't care how many books you read about fitness, it won't get you in shape. You've got to pick, you know, some exercises there and say, okay, I will now do this.
Yes.
So put into practice what you read. And that's one of the things we're told in scripture is to be doers of the word. So, you know, as you read and reflect and so forth, one of the things you need to do is respond by going out and putting into practice what God is saying in his word. And if God is convicting you of something that you need to do or that you need to stop doing, it's amazing how obedience opens the door to more understanding. If God is impressing something on me and I say, okay, I'm gonna have to really think about that, but then I don't seek to put it into practice, and then I feel like, you know, I'm just not learning anything new. Well, what have you done with the last thing I taught you, Jim? Mm. So, you know, I just want to encourage our listeners that God is the one who grows us up, and God will do what it takes in order to grow us up. If we are his, if we belong to him, then he will do what is needed in order to take us along. But it is so much easier if you cooperate.
It is. I totally, totally agree. And even in those hard times when you're down and you're sad, circumstances have fallen apart. Seems like everything is turned against you and you're really struggling. Stay with him. Stay
Amen.
With him. Don't leave. In fact, it's at that very time, if I could just take you by the shoulders right now, I would take you by the shoulders and say, it's that very time when God is giving you the hyperlink to get more of himself, more of his great heart. And that's hard, but he's a treasure, and you've got to seek and search for treasure. You mine, you get grimy, you put in the work, and you get more of who he is. And that is a beautiful outcome for your life. That is what I've learned success really is. Do you have more of God? Are you experiencing more of God than you did? What is that like? What is happening?
Right.
What is going on inside your heart? Places that are unseen, that where there's change. Are you less offendable? Are you more quick to forgive?
Yes.
All those things are tests that we can ask ourselves. And they're all part of learning and growing, which is the way of the telescope.
Amen. Amen. And I think another thing too, and I think you point us in this direction. You mentioned those things in the back that you kind of had to unlearn and then relearn.
Yes.
In a fuller sense. I think there is sometimes the surprise that comes when we feel like, okay, now I've reached a pretty good place and we're kind of plateaued and it's going pretty well. And then God calls to our attention something that we had been very comfortable with or that we hadn't noticed at all. I mean, it just wasn't in our field of vision. And all of a sudden God is showing us. And we might even feel at that point like we're going backwards. But it's not necessarily that we're going backwards. It's that God's calling us higher. And he wants to free us from something that is hindering us from being like him. Because the Bible says one day, thanks to his grace and his power at work in us, we're going to see him as he is and we're going to be like him. And the only way that happens, that's not our achievement. That is his achievement. But he calls us to walk in obedience, which is costly. And as we do so, beauty results.
Mm-hmm.
And, I would not have signed up willingly for any number of things that God has called me to.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't undo any of that, because he knew exactly what he was doing. And he's always working for our good when we love him. But mm-hmm. we love him because he first loved us.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. On the one hand, I want to thank you again for the book, The Way of the Telescope. But I also want our folks to remember that this book is pointing them to the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he's the one who makes the difference. And
yeah.
he is our joy. He is our hope. He is our righteousness. He is our life.
He is our life.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, Suzanne, thank you so much for the way that you have faithfully sought to walk this out and point others to Jesus.
He's a wonderful companion. I couldn't do it without him. You know that. Yeah.
True for us all. All right. Well, thank you, Suzanne. And listeners, if you are looking for this book, it is available on any number of outlets. But where would you recommend people try first, Suzanne?
Easiest is Amazon for people across the country. I've got it locally in Knoxville, Tennessee, but Amazon has that book and the others that I've written. So I hope they'll explore a little bit and have some fun with the stories.
That's great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.